This is Leafs Breakfast.
It's the day after Snowmageddon here in Toronto, and we welcome you back to First Up. This is Leafs Breakfast. Aaron Karolnik and Carlo Koliakovo with you. The Leafs did skate yesterday. They weathered the storm and made their way to practice very impressively. That really shows the dedication of the Toronto Maple Leafs to winning hockey games. And we welcome a man who shows dedication to TSN and to us by joining us every Tuesday morning. It is our good friend Chris Johnston. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Still haven't left the house since the snow started, so.
Well, I was going to ask, because, you know, we're both condo dwellers. You know, there's really no reason to leave when that, you know, the nonsense that's going outside is going on if you're a condo person, right?
I'm with you on that, and you know, I'm just looking around. I watched some of the TV yesterday, like the local news, and it looked like chaos out there. So I hope the roads get better, but I'm hunkered down and just watching hockey.
How are your emotions today? I know you had yesterday to reflect, but a tough day on Sunday for you and your buddy and our buddy, Pierre LeBrun, who basically locked himself in his cottage on Sunday after a Cowboys loss.
Yeah, I'm still in denial. You know, I haven't approached processing just another season that ends in very predictable fashion. If you followed the Cowboys the last 20 years, give or take, that was a crappy Sunday, honestly. But I'm behind your Bills now. If I'm gonna, I'm not saying I'm a fan, but I would love to see Buffalo do well if the Cowboys aren't in it anymore. So I hope the Bills go and win a Super Bowl. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it'd be pretty cool for sure. We'll see how it all plays out. They've got a big.
I've never seen Carlos smile more than at this very moment.
No,
CJ.
Man, look.
Your support means the world to him.
I said it yesterday. I'm done talking about the Bills. I'm just going to let the game happen on Saturday because I had my glory Saturday night with that shellacking that they gave the Patriots. And now I move on.
You forgot.
I let the week play out. You know, don't get too far ahead of myself. Well, speaking of getting too far ahead of themselves, were you surprised that the Maple Leafs actually practiced yesterday?
A little bit, but, you know, they're pretty focused. Like, obviously every team takes things seriously, but if you remember when they were out in Western Canada just before Christmas time and they had a game canceled in Calgary and then the game in Vancouver and Seattle both got postponed, like they practiced every day during that. And I remember I was asking someone on the team, like, what they're doing. And, like, they just said they don't want to miss a day. And, you know, Sheldon Keefe made a comment, you know, to reporters yesterday about how they feel they should win the division. Like, I think that it's a little bit of a reflection just, I guess, of how much is riding on this season. You know, how much the disappointment of last year sort of carries with them. And so, yeah, I didn't think they would practice just when I woke up and looked outside and saw the snow. But, you know, reflecting on it, I understand that I do think it's part of the organization's approach right now that they don't really, I think that they mean business, even though it's such a strange year. They only played 36 games. It feels like they barely play just with all the postponements and everything that's gone on. But you know, I think that they're on a bit of a mission, and that's a day where you kind of see that attitude shine through.
It's hard to pick nits with a team that's had as much success as the Maple Leafs have had so far this year, Chris. But Jake Muzzin hasn't had his best season. I think we would all agree. I think he would agree, and certainly Sheldon Keefe would agree. And there's a number of reasons that you could attribute that to. Certainly the COVID injuries, kind of the inconsistent nature of being in and out of the lineup. Also a number of defense partners he's had throughout the season. But when you think about the priorities for the Toronto Maple Leafs leading up to the trade deadline, where I imagine they'll be very interested in acquiring a defenseman, how important do you think finding a consistent partner for him would be on their list of priorities? He's been with Liljegren, he's been with Hall. What do you make of Muzzin and his partner so far, and what do you think will transpire leading up to the deadline?
Well, I think if it's like your wish list, that's sort of the perfect, you know, ideal scenario. The problem I see is I don't really see an obvious candidate that either shoots right or plays the right side that is available that, you know, would fit with Muzzin to be acquired. And so, you know, it's not to say that won't end up being the case, but, you know, I have a feeling that as this plays out, they might have to adjust that a little bit. But I think that, you know, rounding out their top four of their blue line, you know, would be ideal. You know, they have three left-hand shots, you know, in Muzzin, Brody, who plays the right side, and Riley. You know, it'd be nice to have that fourth. And you know, I think that there's at least some question whether Justin Hall is, you know, ideally suited to be in that position. You know, I know they've liked his game a little bit better of late, prior to him, you know, exiting the lineup again. But, you know, it might be a little bit too much to ask, is kind of my feeling, just given their cap situation and the players we know to be available. But certainly I think that you'll see some kind of reshaping of that blue line, you know, before March 21st. You know, maybe it's a defenseman going out for another one coming in. You know, I don't know exactly how it's going to unfold, but, you know, I'd be surprised if the group that's there today is the exact group to carry into the playoffs, because I do think that's probably their area of need, is trying to solidify that, you know, especially because the Muzzin pair is so important in a playoff series, right? I mean, in the past, that's who Sheldon Keefe has put up against the other team's best players. You know, when the matchup game gets more important in the playoffs, you know, he's vitally important for the team. And so I guess the first step is to try to do everything they can to get him up to speed, playing his best, and then, you know, see what they can do around him in terms of, you know, finding a partner that, you know, can is maybe a little better suited to play with him in those tough minutes.
CJ, your colleague, Pierre LeBrun, wrote an article in The Athletic yesterday basically identifying what the rental market would look like on defense, and the name that stands out on top of that is John Klingberg. And I'm actually still can't believe that Dallas isn't finding a way to get this guy signed, considering the value he's brought to this, to that group, you know, during his tenure there. But hey, you know, those are their own problems. But the list includes, you know, Ben Sherratt, Colin Miller, Josh Manson, Giordano, Nick Leddy, Ristolainen, Justin Braun. Do you think those are some of the names maybe the Maple Leafs could find themselves attached to, or is it going to be a name that probably that no one's really expecting?
No, well, I think probably if they had their druthers, they'd like to get someone who isn't necessarily a rental player, but you know, the way when they got Jake Muzzin, they got him for two playoff runs before they had to extend him. You know, that might be a better fit. You know, the rental market, as we saw, I mean, that was what the Leafs shopped in last year. They gave up a lot of assets to bring in guys like Nick Foligno. And, you know, Nick got injured and didn't get a chance really to make the impact the Leafs would have hoped. And, you know, they did give up a first-round pick plus a third for him. And so, you know, I think that if those are definitely some of the names that they would be picking through. And those are the players on the rental market. Those will be guys that are likely moved in advance of March 21st. You know, the Klingberg situation is unique. I don't see him being as much a fit for the Leafs just because he's such an offensive-minded player, and you've already got Morgan Riley to play on your top power play unit. It reminds me a bit of when they got Tyson Barrie. It was never quite the right fit because, you know, there was an overlap in what he does best and what Morgan does. But, you know, it seems like in Dallas, you know, part of the thing is that they got him on such good value at $4.5 million for the last 7 years that they basically bought his prime years sort of below what his market would have been. Now I think they're reluctant to pay him the market value because they're worried about decline, you know, just with his age and you know, even somewhat his performance. I know last season wasn't great for Klingberg compared to previous, and this year has kind of been so-so. And so, yeah, you know, it does sound as though he's going to be moved, but, you know, I don't think he's a player that's going to find himself here in Toronto when's all said and done.
No, it sounds like Carolina and Tampa and Boston looking at Klingberg, and Carolina seems to me, because there were reports, CJ, that Carolina had talked about Klingberg back in November with Dallas, and man, you look at that team. You had Klingberg, and it's a defense that's missing Dougie Hamilton, obviously, from last year, but you slide Klingberg in there. Carolina is a team to be reckoned with. We know that. We know they're a legit cup contender, but when you talk about the top contenders for Klingberg services, kind of how would you rank them, maybe 3-1?
Well, Carolina makes the most sense, I think, just because they have the ability to make that move. They're an aggressive team. I think that their front office is in a mindset right now of wanting to, you know, add to the group they have, which is, you know, among the best teams in the league already. And so, you know, I could see that fit making, you know, a ton of sense for them. You know, he's not – he's not, you know, John Klingberg at this stage of his career isn't performing at the same level that Dougie Hamilton did, but, you know, he does a lot of the same things well. And so, you know, I would definitely put them as the front runner here. You know, maybe someone's lurking in the weeds, though. You know, a team that, you know, is looking to make this trade and sign him. You know, someone who isn't necessarily making the deal to try to load up to have the best chance to win the Stanley Cup in the next few months. You know, because it is a bit of an unusual circumstance. We live in strange times, but, you know, if this goes down, it'll probably be one of the bigger trades we see leading up to the deadline, just because of how good John Klingberg's been the last number of seasons.
Our guest is TSN hockey insider Chris Johnston, and I'm curious of your thoughts on the Carey Price situation. There was a report yesterday from the Canadiens themselves saying that he is restarting his knee rehab. He remains out indefinitely. So the trade deadline, what, just over 2 months away? I guess a question twofold. Number one, do you think Carey Price plays this season, considering everything that he's endured with injury and his own mental health issues? And two, if he does get back in time for the deadline, do you think Montreal at least explores the option of moving him?
I think they will explore the option of moving him, whether it's before this deadline or maybe in the off season. You know, Carey Price has a no-move clause, so nothing would happen that he isn't comfortable with. But, you know, the Canadiens have 7 wins right now in 37 games. And, oof, you know, it's pretty clear to me, you know, they haven't finished rounding out their front office. But once they do, I think it'll be rather apparent that they're going to go in something approaching a rebuild route, or, you know, it's not going to get better right away is the point. And, you know, where Carey's at in his career, I think they'll probably have a similar conversation with guys like Jeff Petrie, maybe even Brendan Gallagher, who just signed a long-term deal fairly recently to see if they want to still be a part of it. And so, you know, it's not clear. I don't have any information to know if Price will play this year. I mean, the situation has been pretty touchy. And I think everyone's wanted to give him a space for obvious reasons. And so, you know, I'm not sure if he'll be back this season, but I do think whenever he is back and playing or in a position where he's completely healthy, the Canadiens will explore the trade market and see if something fits. You know, they'll obviously have to eat a big part of that contract, I would think, to make that kind of move at this stage. But, you know, there will definitely be teams out there that would be interested in him, even after everything he's been through. And this long layoff that he will endure, you know, I think that he would be a movable asset. It's just about if the right team that Carey Price is willing to sign off on is you know, steps up and tries to make that trade.
Well, maybe the price is right in Montreal, because yesterday, while you're at home, you probably locked yourself into the 4 o'clock slot between the Right Bull, Montreal Canadiens, and Arizona Coyotes, where Arizona beat Montreal, and now Montreal slides into the last lot. But, like, why do people still call this, like, the battle of last place, when at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter if you finish last? You still got to go through a lottery selection.
Yeah, the league's made changes the last couple of years that make finishing last, you know, a little bit less appealing. Like, even when the Leafs were the last place team in 2015-16, I don't remember the exact numbers they had of getting Auston Matthews, but it was stacked more in their favor. Much more in their favor than it will be for, you know, whichever team ends up finishing 32nd this year in that draft lottery. And so, you know, I guess it's something for fans to focus on in those markets. I mean, Montreal was playing in the Stanley Cup final 8 months ago. It's hard to imagine. And now, you know, midway point in the season almost, and they're last in the league. You know, that's a big turn for a fan base. So, you know, let's forget looking at things cold and calculated. If you're emotional, you got to have something to grasp onto. And, you know, the draft's going to be in Montreal in July. I mean, what better way to have host a draft?
No kidding.
Than potentially having the number one overall pick. I mean, that's one way to flush a terrible season for your fan base, is to do that. You know, the Canadiens also have stockpiled a few other draft picks. I think that they're going to want to, you know, be you know, pretty active at that draft. I mean, and let's face it, I think they'll try to make some trades leading up to the deadline and have more futures in play. And so, you know, this could go from, you know, what's still going to be a tough couple months, because they got a lot of games to play, the Canadiens, but, you know, they're going to be hoping to switch the narrative and the feel around their team as soon as July, when they host that draft, and, you know, maybe add a player like Shane Wright to their prospect pool.
Wouldn't that be something? And the Shane Wright jerseys would fly off the shelves in Montreal if that were to ever transpire. CJ, thank you so much for doing this. Are you going to venture outside at some point this afternoon?
No commitment. I'm supposed to be in for IT tonight. maybe by 5 o'clock I'll be outside, but before then, no guarantees.
And you're going to Vegas. So are you still going to Vegas for the All-Star Game? Is that still happening?
Absolutely. We're keeping that in the universe, bud. Got my ticket ready to go.
Man, you must be so pumped to get out of here. I can only imagine just every morning. Okay, X number of hours remaining until we
count the days. Can I go to sleep and wake up like 2 weeks from now?
Can I come in your luggage, please?
I am absolutely ready right now. I would go right now.
Yes. Good for you, man.
Well, thank you as always for taking the time for us, and you have yourself a good afternoon. Get out there. Get some fresh air.
All right, boys. Be well.
All right. See you, Chris Johnston, our TSN hockey insider. And yes, insider trading tonight. Always love a good Tuesday evening insider trading.
Well, we need something because
we do.
The Leafs haven't played. They've played like two games in like 14 days. It's like uncle already, man. Like, let's go. Let's get playing. Like, let's get these games rolling. Let's give us some content.
Yeah, exactly. The Leafs do play the Rangers tomorrow night. That should be a good game. The fifth game of their road trip, fifth of six. They will take on the Islanders, I think, the next night. I think it's a Wednesday, Thursday. And then they're back at home, we think, on the 26th of January against the Anaheim Ducks. Will there be fans? Is that right? I don't know if I have the schedule right. Someone's going to have to correct
me. No, you don't. So they play tomorrow at New York, and then they have Thursday, Friday off and play Saturday on Long Island. Oh, and then they don't play again until Wednesday again.
And that's the game against Anaheim.
Anaheim. Okay. What's going on here?
That was close. I don't, dude. They're going to have like 100 games in the month of February.
I know. It's crazy. It's like you play a game. Like, this is a country club type of schedule for the Leafs, man. Play a game, get a couple days off. Play a game, get a couple days off. It's just been, and then you get hit with a 40-centimeter snowfall.
Exactly. It's not going to last forever, I can guarantee you. They're looking at it right now. Be like, all right, boys, get your rest now, because the grind of February and March is coming your way soon. And the Leafs haven't played, like, the fewest games in the NHL, but they are on the lower end of the spectrum for sure. And
good thing they banked all those points, man.
Well, that's exactly it. So you can look at it that way, or you can look at it the other way. It's one of those things where there's no right or wrong answer if it's good or bad for this team going forward. And I think Sheldon Keefe at least intimated yesterday when he was doing his media availability, this could be good. This adversity, keeping the team sharp and playing a lot of games down the stretch could help them keep their motivation and their focus as they approach the second half of the season coming up a little bit later this week. We'll talk about Timo Meier. 5 goals yesterday. What was the biggest goal-scoring performance you've seen in your 14 years in the NHL? Who was it? I did see that Johan Franzen, one of your former teammates in Detroit, did score 5 goals in a game, one of 5 players to do so in the last 25 years. We'll look it up. We'll look it up. We'll get the information. I don't know if you were – I think you would probably remember if you were on that team.
I don't remember being in a game where anybody scored 5 goals, but I've been in a game where a lot of guys have scored 4 goals.
A lot of guys. All right, so we'll get some stories on that. We'll look back on the Raptors' tough loss to Miami down in South Beach. A beautiful evening in Miami, apparently, last night. No surprise there. No Kyle Lowry, no problem for the Miami Heat. And Robin Lundberg from Sports Illustrated will join us in about 25 minutes. The third hour, first up, on the way next. You're listening to TSN 1050.